Okay. Yeah, we're
so
back.
So do you want an intro? We want an intro of what we're doing?
Yeah. Or, how about, who are you?
Hello. My name is Chris Gibbs. I'm here at the Halifax Fringe doing a show called Not Quite Sherlock. And I'm interviewing Liam last name.
Fair. Liam Fair.
Liam Fair.
Yeah, I'm with Hello City, as well as I'm doing a show called The Huns with Matchstick Theater. So I'm in two shows. One is an improv show with jokes, and one is a comedy that is written.
But you're not going to say which one's which.
Nope, I won't.
You have to guess.
You'll have to guess which one is Huns, the improv show, or is Hello City Late Night Power Hour,
ooh,
the improv show.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So, of course, I thought I was going to be interviewing in Matchstick Theatre, so I did like hours of research.
That sucks.
on them. So, Liam,
mm-hmm.
who are you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, that's what I thought, too, because we've been doing the process, and then they were like, Liam, could you do this interview? And I said, yeah, but I think they don't want me. So,
oh, we do.
I'm a local improviser, so I grew up just outside the city in a town called Waverly. So, yeah, it's nice. It's near the airport, near the
ooh.
Lakes. They're quite good if you get a chance to get outside the city. But I'm with a group called Hello City that has done shows in the Fringe the last, like, 7 or 8 years. We usually do a long-form improv show that has a theme. We did a dating show. I can't say the name of it, but
why?
Well, I don't know what the censorship rules are.
Oh, I see.
But it's F Island. It was called F Island. We had a mystery improv show called Lords of Fogtown over the years, and then this year we're just doing Late Night Power Hour, which is going to be like a late night short form, high octane, fun show.
Ooh.
But more importantly, I'm taking the place of Matchstick Theater with The Huns, which is a show with three performers, myself, Jill Anderson, and Katarina Bulekis. Oh, my God, I should know her last name off by heart. But they're wonderful, and we are Bacolius. Oh, my God, you are right. Yeah, Bacolius. And then Katarina Bacolius, and they are a wonderful local actor that directs and creates a local TV show, has written plays that have been at Neptune Theater, so they're like a wonderful professional actor. Another, Jill Anderson, who's actually in Hello City with me, but is also like a wonderful, incredible actor, very funny, very, very talented, very wonderful to watch. And then myself, who's not an actor, but I do improv with them, so I'm coming in, and I've been acting. And we've had a director, Jake, oh my God, why am I blanking on everyone's name? Planick. It's Jake Planick. Yeah. Jake Planick. And, it's been really wonderful. We've kind of, worked together on this, hour long play. It's very kind of just the three of us in a boardroom. There's upwards of like 11 different voices on a conference call. So it's very much like fast paced lines being hit, very fun. One of those workplace comedies that are very like, I think the humor is in that we all hate our jobs a little bit, and being able to explore that and kind of have a sense of catharsis watching these people maybe crash out on a conference call. Yeah.
Crashing out. Hence the name Huns.
The Huns. It is very much, in the show, you see the performative nature in a workplace and how it starts to crumble on a conference call as things are revealed, and it's quite nice.
All right.
Yeah.
That was good, because you said that as if that was explaining the name Huns.
Yeah.
And I was like, the performative nature, like the Huns had.
Yeah. You know, the Huns, they just, it wasn't really about, you know, the conquering. It was just being, just looking like they.
It was looking.
Yeah.
Hence, I noticed recently people started to say, because I grew up Attila the Hun,
mm-hmm.
and then graduate people learned, it's actually Attila.
Oh.
Which is one of the, and the other one was Genghis Khan, and then Boadicea was the woman in Britain with the chariot with the blades. And then apparently a few years ago, people were like, no, it's Budokai.
Oh.
Which may be true,
right.
But there comes a point where you're like, it's too late. It's done now.
Yeah. You can correct people, but I also wouldn't be so mad. Yeah.
Also, Attila just sounds better than Attila.
Yeah.
It's like,
Where are they?
I don't know, but they're Huns, and yeah, no doubt are referenced in your play.
Yes, absolutely. I think in loosely, like, it's truly not a, it's not a historical drama. It's not a historical piece at all. It is a modern look at a workplace. But I think in the way that the civility and the professionalism is portrayed is quite, you know, you see the Huns, you see the, right, yeah, the barbarism.
Cool. Now, I feel that you've, that was a really nice thing. You were like, hey, I'm here to represent Matchstick, but they're not here. So mm-hmm. I want to know about Big City, Hello City, Big Improv. Yeah. I want to know about the other one.
Right. Yeah, okay, so Hello City.
And if Matchstick have a problem.
No. Well, listen, Matchstick, really quick, Jake, Chelsea, and Alex, they're incredible. They always bring Canadian works, which sometimes you're just like, hey, we've seen a lot of the same pieces a lot, and I think especially seeing some Nova Scotian plays, some local Canadian plays sometimes that you're like, oh, these are literally... they're just as good. They're all plays. Why are we not right. You know what I mean? It helps kind of, they do such great work in being like, oh, we should just be trying to explore as much as we can. So I'll say that about Matchstick. They're wonderful, but you're right. They're not here. So Hello City is, I think we're 8 years old now. Just a group of local improvisers. The show we do outside of the Fringe is all based on having local artists or local community members primarily come in and tell stories about their experience either in their community or specifically sometimes in Halifax. Do you know the band The Bare Naked Ladies?
I'm familiar with
them. Okay, so they came out with an album, Gordon, early on in their career. I think it's like their first studio album. And they have a song in it called Hello City. It is written about their experience in Halifax and how they had a really bad time. And they kind of crapped all over. Well, they didn't, but they were like, this it's city's crazy. Like, the people here are nuts and it sucks. And I love the song. And I think there was, for a long time in the city, I think people were like, oh, we'd love to do improv. But, you know, when you don't have a second city or an established kind of thing, it always felt kind of disconnected, you know, trying to be like, oh, and this is good improv and you should like this and whatever,
right?
And it never really stuck until we were like, well, let's ground it in the fact that, like, hey, we're all here and we know what the city's like, you know what right. I mean, we love this city, but no one's like, Halifax is the best city in the world, you know okay. what I mean? Like, and I love the city a lot, but it has its ups and downs. It has its moments and things like that. So the show is primarily based in this idea that we love this city despite, you know,
right.
Everything. And we honor the people that stick around and try to make it better. And out here, at least, you know, growing up, the idea was it's like you move away when you're older, right?
Right.
Like, you don't stay in Halifax. It's like you go out west and work on the oil rigs, or you go to Toronto and you're a big city boy, you know? So a lot of the show was like, okay, but, you know, this is home for a lot of us, and why is it important, and what makes it so special, and what are these stories that, like, you know, are true for people in every city all over, but specifically, you know, true, what was a wild night you had in Halifax, or what was, like, the best morning, you know, like, where'd you have a good cup of coffee and had a weird thing happen, you know?
And so when you have these guests, like, do you interview them or do they prepare stories?
So they prepare usually about 3 or 4 stories, and then we do scenes based on those stories. So not right. We don't copy the stories exactly. We don't just recreate, but we will pick out those little beats and things and say, well, what if, you know, if someone tells a story about their first night in Halifax being chased by dogs, you know, we might find a way to, like, do a scene about a pack of dogs, like, making a game plan for that night, you know?
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, what are we doing tonight, you know? It's like, I think we could chase a guy down by the harbor, maybe get a bite to eat at, you know, like, a pizza corner, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes lean into the cultural, you know, hubs or whatever, and then sometimes also just be like, okay, but what is true about all places and all, you know? So that's the Hello City, and we've been around for a while. And Fringe, for us, because we're local, is a really nice way to be like, you know, hey, we've been working on something that we want to share that's outside of our normal, you know, just someone comes in and tells stories, and we do improv, and it's easy, it's clean, you know, it's done. Over the last 8 years, we've kind of been like, okay, what can we do this year that's different? Or maybe sometimes it's like, what would we like to see at the Fringe? And, you know, we've always been like, oh, we wish there was just like a late night show where people could come and have fun and drink if they want and, like, you know, smoke cigarettes out, you know, afterwards and be like, that was funny, you know, and like,
right.
And we're like, okay, so this year we were like, we really want to just do a show that I think is another thing about our shows is we often get a lot of people from the Fringe come in with the Fringe passes, and we love that. We get, you know, you see the people that are like, yeah, well, you know, like, we're going to end our night, we're going to come to see your show. So also we were like, oh, this would be, what a nice way to end it for, like, we know there's going to be a lot of our friends coming to these shows. What if we just give them like a nice, fun show? Because right. Fringe is hard, right? You came here to perform. Like, I can't imagine that's easy.
Well, I assumed it would be. I'm just finding out now, apparently.
Yeah.
But
And I guess, so, look, I found out I was doing this yesterday, but I did do a little bit of looking stuff up and making sure I could find the real Chris Gibbs, because it turns out as
there's
you look stuff up, there's so many people. But as you were telling me earlier, you came to Halifax in, you said, 2002?
Well, I first came earlier than that. Damn. Nice transition, switching it around.
You saw that, eh?
Yeah. I had tons more in clever questions.
Yeah, but we got to go back and forth.
All right. First time I came, my wife's from New Brunswick.
Oh, cool.
And her dad lives just outside of Halifax.
Okay.
So there was a family.
Where does he live? Where's your father from?
Bedford.
Oh, awesome.
I think.
Yeah. No, anyways, Waverly's right next to Bedford. My mom went to high school in Bedford.
Oh, right. Yeah. Nice.
Great.
Yeah, my wife's, where she's from, there's like apparently one school that's really posh. So every now and then I meet people and they're like, oh, I know, it might be the town. Which is weird for me. I'm like, I'd never even heard of New Brunswick before I met her.
Right.
So let alone a town that people look down on in a weird way was
right.
Like, why?
Yeah.
sorry, censoring the comparison there. But yeah, so people will go, oh, you're from Rothesay. Oh, and it's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I knew it was Rothesay. I was about to tell you, I should have said it. There's a private school in Rothesay. Yeah. Anyways,
that's where she went.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And that's where we got married, actually, in the chapel.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's really nice, except that the instead of pews facing forward, they face each other.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, I'm from England, so right. Like, just only a couple of my family came over. Everybody else was her. But her grandfather wouldn't listen to, like, no, anyone can sit anywhere. So it did. Oh, the pictures are just her family staring across at my mum and sister.
That's so funny.
But it was lovely.
Yeah, very nice. But that's so funny. When you were like, and people out here, I was like, oh, yeah, it's Rossay, and I'm that people.
Well, and I was assuming that was, I don't know, because I'm like, well, maybe Bedford's like that too.
It is. But I think that's what's funny about the Maritimes and about the Hello City is, like, there is something so uniquely, sometimes it's like, it's so dumb. You know? It's so dumb that I knew it was Rossay, but it is something that we're like, oh, you're nice and from New Brunswick? Okay. And right. There's an element of that out here.
Yeah. It's weird, too, because my son is from Toronto.
Yeah. That's,
we met, and my wife lived in Toronto when we met. So she was like, okay, we're going to live in Canada, and we're going to have children. By the way, my name's Nicole. That was kind of how it worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. and then we moved. Then we have a house there. And it's weird, because everybody, like, oh, Toronto. Toronto thinks this about us. And it was like, Toronto doesn't think about you at all. Like, they're too busy doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, coming from London, everything that people dislike about Toronto is just not true, because it's like, oh, it's so expensive and unfriendly. It was like, not to my, compared to my
yes,
people.
Right.
It's like, everybody's singing all the time. And then even when my son was born, I remember, I think I must have been out west somewhere, and somebody was like, oh, Toronto. And I was like, well, my son's from Toronto. And they were like, still. And it was just like, he's a baby.
That's crazy.
You're allowing this, like, I think, what's that, parochialism to, like, make you hate a baby.
Yes.
At least let him grow up and then dislike him.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that. I think it's like, it's so dumb, but there's so much of it out here. I think, you know, obviously you get what you put out, right? And I think... we've been scorned out here, and we want to be
by who?
I think, like, the federal government.
Okay, then. Yeah. I'll have a word.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But okay. So you are you still based in Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay. So you came here earlier. You were here. How many times have you been to the Halifax Fringe?
Only once. So I'd actually, the first time I ever came here was the Buskers Festival in 2000.
Oh, cool.
First time I ever heard about Halifax was the Buskers Festival. There was a street performer I knew. That's how I started in London. And he was like, there happens to be a town in Britain called Halifax. I guess it's not a coincidence.
No, it's
probably
not.
And I remember him talking about this great festival. I was like, this doesn't sound like anything I've ever heard about that part of England.
Yeah.
And then after a while, he was like, and they throw their dollar bills. And I was like, this now it sounds like they're just being mean.
Yeah.
But then I found out, oh, it's in a different country.
Oh, cool.
And I'd heard these amazing things about it. But the year I did it was also the year of the tall ships.
Yeah.
Which I don't actually know what that means, except that it was the reason people gave for why we didn't make any money.
Yeah.
That tall ships. I mean, I remember we had massive crowd. I remember this one show, and it was like really fun, 300 or 400 people. We used to do this thing where we'd have a series of accidents to get the audience. Because everybody stops to watch an accident. So we'd have fall over, and then the audience would go, ah, an accident. And we had this kind of whole routine about it. And I did one where I was Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was like, because I used to be an acrobat.
I know, okay.
This is an audio thing, so you can't tell, but I clearly do not look that way anymore.
He is tight. He looks like he could bench 500.
Tight in the sense of something that has been very overstuffed.
Right.
The skin is stretched.
Right.
But I used to do this. I remember, because of my wife, I knew certain things about Halifax, and I remember doing, and it's all on the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
So I do this Arnold Schwarzenegger thing where I roll a lot around the ground, and then basically I would stop. And I used to work with this other guy, and I just went, I'm a broken man on a Halifax pier. And the audience were like, what? Because it made sense in the context.
Oh, yeah.
And Pete, my partner, was just like, what is going on? Because he had never heard the song.
I literally think I would take my wallet out and give you all my money if I saw that.
Well, they didn't then.
They didn't, because the tall ships.
Apparently because of the tall ships.
And if you don't know what it means exactly what it says. It's tall ships.
Okay, in that case, I've never understood why that would affect me.
I hate to tell you. We're simple people out here.
Well, so they were like, oh, those tall ships there.
Like,
well,
save the money, honey. We want to get on one of them tall ships.
You pay to get on the tall ships.
Oh, I assume. I don't know. I don't know. But I assume if there's tall, I think it's kind of like a drag show. Like when they come up, you throw your money.
Oh, okay. Well, now that all makes sense. You know, a mystery. Yeah. 22 years of a mystery.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I think it must be like tours and stuff, but also that maybe the idea that people weren't like, you know, they were like, oh, I can just keep moving on.
Right.
But yeah, it is. There's certain times when, you know, the stars align in Halifax and there's like two events on the waterfront at once. And it's always it's so funny because it's just overstimulating. You'll go down there and you'll be like watching a busker perform. And then all of a sudden, you like look over and there's like cannons being fired because someone's doing a sailing thing. And you're like, I can't split this, you know,
at least turn the cannons toward us.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Get yeah. Yeah. No, it was. OK, so that makes sense. So you were a busker. You came to Halifax. You were saying your first show here was stand-up, though. So you an acrobat, also stand-up.
Well, I started in 91, I think. Wow. So it was vague.
Yeah.
As a street performing acrobat-y. You have to do comedy, essentially.
Yeah.
And in part because I was a tumbler. So, like, if you're a juggler, right, you can start juggling with your basic pattern, and then while you're doing that, you can describe another thing you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But all the while that you're describing this other thing, you're still juggling.
Yeah.
When you're an acrobat, all the while you're not doing the acrobatics, you're doing nothing.
Yeah.
So it became like you have to learn comedy.
Totally, yeah.
So I was always, and mind you, I think I always wanted to do that because I was never a particularly good acrobat.
Right.
But then I started working with this other guy, and we would go all around the world. And then we came to Canada we did the Edmonton Street Performers Festival, and then the Vancouver Comedy Festival at that time was just busking on Granville Island.
Cool.
They had one show. I think Elvira Kurt was doing a show.
Whoa.
It may not have been her.
Yeah.
And then, but sort of in the course of that, we'd never heard about the Canadian fringes particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Edmonton Fringe is like the biggest one. And also at that time had an amazing outdoor component.
Mm.
So the following year, we just came back and we just did the outdoor stage of the Edmonton Fringe, which was really fun. And since then, it feels like every year they go, all right, that was good. how can we make it worse? And then gradually, like it used to be them, like, because a lot of what makes a festival successful is just luck of geography.
Yeah.
And so Edmonton used to have the gazebo. I remember we always did dumb jokes of like over there by the placebo. And it was just like, why? But we can't stop ourselves. And it used to be this really nice thing. You get a good sort of, you know, bowl of people. And at the right time, you could make a good hat and have a wonderful show, fun show. And then every year since, they're like, but what if we distanced people and made it uncomfortable? Mm. And so, but anyway, from that, we went into doing indoor shows.
Right.
And we were kind of doing, we would write a new show in Wellington in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Hardly ever did anything in Britain, just because attitude.
Right.
They're the Toronto of the world.
I understand. Say no more. Listen, the Ross Hayes of the New Brunswick.
And then we came here, and then we started doing, we wrote an indoor show, I think, in 97. It was weird. Like, yeah. we had, one of the things they did in Edmonton Street Performers Festival was a thing called Midnight Madness, where one night or three nights, all the performers would put together a big show, and it was something you'd never done. Mm. And I came up with this dumb idea of like, what if I read Shakespeare and you, Pete, you throw things at my head? And he's like, right, just gently. And I was like, no, as hard as you can.
Yeah, you got it.
Tennis balls. And then because we were staying in a hotel, it was like tennis balls and then all the towels we stole from the hotel, like wet. And it was just this, I would read sonnets.
Yeah.
And he would throw these things. And apparently the first two, because I remember he would like, would be very serious and then throw as hard as he could. But it's hard to, you know, I have a narrow head apparently. Yeah. And it would just go straight into the audience. Although one of them hit, the first two balls hit one of these other performers who we did have a bit of a problem with. So he's always like, how did you know I was there in the dark? Anyway, and then we had this bit that was like 10 minutes. And then we were like, okay, we're going to be in New Zealand. Let's write a show. And if we end it with that 10 minutes, hopefully that's good enough. If the other 50 is terrible, no one will remember that.
Totally.
And then fortunately, I think it was a little bit better than that.
Nice, good.
And then so we started doing that, and we would write a new show and tour that. And we came to Canada, and we started doing the fringes a little bit more, like Winnipeg, then Edmonton, and then gradually adding other ones. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met my wife. She was doing a two-person play about the Jonestown Massacre.
Okay.
Which was originally conceived as a musical. The play, not the massacre.
Right.
And so in Saskatoon, though, they hadn't kept up to date. So apparently there were signs everywhere that just had to say Jonestown is not a musical.
Right.
And I didn't. I remember I met her. She had seen me do a street show in Winnipeg. And it was just one of those things of like, you're lovely. That's my reaction, not her. No. and then gradually it was like, okay, I really like this girl. And it was like, now I have to see her play, but what if it's no good?
Right.
Unfortunately, she was brilliant.
Yeah, of course.
But it was, I put it off until Vancouver.
You got to be pretty confident to like you and one other person be like, let's do a play about a massacre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not like...
it was good. It was really
like
good.
Three of us are doing a play about a conference call.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you've got the name, the Huns.
Yeah.
But you're not building up to the death.
Yeah, no. Not yet. Yeah. Okay, well, so and then... with this show now, how long have you been touring this show?
In different ways. So I actually wrote this in 2005.
Cool.
And then I've actually got two other shows with the same characters. Mm. Now I've just did the initial. I did kind of have three, but one of them is I'm writing a book.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, I put together a show with all the jokes that were in the book that weren't in the plays. Mm. And then it was like, okay, so now what I'm doing though is just taking that apart and using it. But like, so this year I did a new one in Winnipeg, which was really fun. I was so terrified because I'd not done a new show for a while, and it was quite successful.
Yeah.
But that's not the play I'm doing here, so I probably shouldn't mention that.
No, I think, so it's interesting. I mean, so, and you're saying it's related, whereas you have a new show. Are you excited to kind of maybe come back to this piece being like, oh, I've explored this world, this universe so much more. What will be the discoveries I find? Like, are you excited to kind of...
At this point, it's more about, so what happened was... So I started writing the book just before the pandemic. So it was like, no. When everybody else started to write books because of the pandemic, I was like, no, I was already doing mine a month before.
Right.
But so in the course of that, though, the book is actually the first two plays, essentially. It was the same story as the first two plays, but I'm not adapting the plays so much as telling the story in a different way.
Yep.
But I came up with a new beginning that I really like that makes more sense for the beginning of the first show. So one of the things I'm doing now is like adding this beginning that the show never had.
Right.
But unfortunately, that means a show that it's always been difficult to do in 60 minutes now has an additional 10 minutes.
Right.
So it's like, how the hell? So mainly, rather than I'm excited about what I'll discover, it's more about, will I actually get it done in time?
Right, okay.
And you know, so I'm like, oh, I've got to cut this. And it's really hard. Once the joke has gone in and it's like, the show wouldn't exist without that joke. It was like, the show existed without the joke before, and it will again, but it's hard to...
It is. It's so tough, and I can't imagine. But I think that this sounds like it'll at least be... pretty valuable in terms of, I think, that process. So that's exciting. And this is a show you've done so multiple times, so you feel like you're going to hit the ground running.
Because I've changed it all. And I do think it's important when you're doing a show to know why you're doing it and what you want out of it.
Yeah.
And mostly what I want is I want to it's kind of the same as a street performer. I want to entertain people, have them go, that was worth something, with the weird thing of they're paying me beforehand. So that's nice.
Yeah.
And with this show, it's like, well, let's hope that people enjoy it. But also, I hopefully will come away and go, right, this is either a much better way of doing the show, or I will never do the show this way again. I think it's better, but an audience has never seen it this way.
Okay, yeah. What theater are you doing it at?
The Dan's Space. I don't know how you pronounce it. I've only seen it written Dan's down. I'm assuming Dan's it's Dance Space. Space.
Dance Space?
Or is it Dan? Is it named after a person named Dan? Yeah. Is it Dan's pace, as in somebody who likes to walk?
I was thinking that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the you would think that.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Is that at the convention center area?
1800.
The lighthouse, right. Okay.
That's an old lighthouse? This is the beginning of a haunting.
Honestly, in a lot of ways, too. It's a beautiful building, but we built a new convention center, and we still have the old one. We call it the lighthouse now. It's really cool. That's a great space. It's close to Neptune. It's right pretty much on Argyle, which is that busy street. So as I think someone who's familiar with busking and stuff, the nice thing is that's like the most people on a street kind of thing in Halifax. So it's quite... Since you were last here in 2002 or whatever for a show, that street has really kind of... I mean, it's always been popular, but they've made a lot of effort to make it like pedestrian only in the summer.
Oh,
there's a lot of nice bars and the new convention center and things like that. So on weekends or in the summer, you'll see that it's quite busy. And there's a lot of students that just came back. Halifax is such a university town in a way. We have St. Mary's, Dalhousie and stuff. So the population gets like a really big noticeable change when the students come back. Mainly because you get like 30,000 young people all of a sudden, and you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. My son is one of them. That's the one reason I'm here is to sort of drop him off.
Oh, at Dalhousie?
Yep.
Okay, very fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's funny because my wife drove him out.
Yeah?
I mean, no, wait. In the car, the two of them drove him, not like,
yeah. yes.
She drove with him,
yeah.
and they were like, we don't have room for you. So I had 2 days without them, and it was like so sad and miserable, just being like, I don't want him to be in another town.
Yeah,
this is great.
Yeah, well, you'll have to visit. It's a nice town. Dalhousie is really great. I think in terms of there's a lot of good art, and it's a great city.
Did you go to Dal?
I didn't, but a lot of my close friends, one of my improv partners who's in Hello City as well, has worked with Matchstick, Henry Kiskillis. But he went to Dal, and I used to watch all his plays, and then it was one of those situations where I would just like puppy dog hang around him all the time, so I felt like I got like a little bit of a Dalhousie experience just hanging around. But
and I noticed you said his last name like straight off
right away, mainly because he's a fifth, I think, so he always goes like, I'm Henrik Kiskillis the fifth, and
you'd
like,
have to say the whole thing.
You gotta say the whole thing. You can't just be like, I'm Henrik the fifth. You'd be like, okay, there's been lots of Henrys, buddy. Like, you gotta be a little Kiskillis, more you gotta specific
say.
No, I'm pretty bad with last names, and now I realize that.
I was praising you on that one.
That one was made good. Up. I know my own. I know a couple more, but I know my mom's. You know, I know both my mom's because she changed it too. So I got a lot. Well, that's good. So you're here. You're doing the show. How many shows do you have?
Six.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's funny because you book it. Like, I thought it was like every other Fringe. And it's like, oh, you get to choose how many you're going to do. And it's kind of strange.
Yeah, it is. I think there's for us, it's so helpful because sometimes where people are so busy with other things in the summer, the picking of, we go like, be kind of nice to do five this year.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. We're like, this is a year, especially where there's 14 shows with the Huns. It was like, maybe we don't do seven.
It's weird when you, like you said, you're acting now, but like, considering how much of your work is like, I really want to do more work. And then as soon as you're working, your first thing is like, okay, when can I stop?
Yeah, when do I get? Well, that's, so it's like, since maybe the start of August, I'll have 2 days off before like the start of August and like September 13th or something between Fringe, my real job, and other Fringe that I have, you know. But you're right. Like, there is an element of like, once you're doing it, which is, I guess, a great fault. How do you in the moment like buy in? You know what I mean? Like, when you get there, what do you do to say this is going to be great? And
it's my favorite thing to do. Show like it, you know how when you watch a movie that you love with a new person, doing a show you really enjoy is just like that. You're like, oh, the other people have loved this. This is my favorite bit coming up. Oh, this is a new bit. I want you to see it. And it, generally, everything I've done, I noticed it maybe 10, 15 years ago. It's like getting nervous about doing a show. I think I was doing a showcase and it was like, it's got to be 15 minutes or less. And I was so worked up. And then I found about an hour or two before, I was like, wait, that just went away. Because I'm like, there's nothing. All the preparation doesn't matter. It's kind of, because I do improv as well. It's like, preparation doesn't matter. Now you just have to step on stage and
do it.
And do it. And you bring whatever you're with.
You got, and you work hard. Yeah. And it sounds like you're writing a book, so you've prepared, right? So you
sure.
Wow. As much as you got.
You would assume.
But you can bring that. And so that's good, yeah.
Well, and I always think of theater as like you're standing on top of what you've built.
Yeah.
And you then... you ride it as it collapses. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I don't know why my metaphor always collapses.
No, let's take it.
It's like, it's like improv. Yeah. It's like you're there and you're working. Anyway, I feel you've done a wonderful job of constantly switching back to asking me questions. But I feel like Dorian is shifting uneasily or easily.
You're done.
I am painfully afraid I'm going to have to find a way for you to close.
It has been an hour.
No.
Stop it. It's all Liam.
One last sign off, then we'll move on to our next interview.
Yeah, I guess, if people get a chance, there's 5 chances to see Hello City. It's going to be just a really nice time to sit down and laugh. And I think we're working really hard, and I think it'll be just fast-paced. I think there'll be something for everyone. And it's not one of those improv shows where you're going to be like, am I going to be picked on? No. No, you won't. I think it's just a very fun, everything sucks, you know, we all know that. So I think that show is just going to be pretty positive, feel good. The Huns, 14 chances to see it. Matchstick is an incredible company. It's not as feel good, but it's a very good show. Trigger warning in terms of content. It is a little bit more serious in that dark comedy kind of way, but it's an incredible play, and I think people will love it.
Excellent. And Not Quite Sherlock is, originally it was called Antoine Faval, name of the character, misprinted in a place that I was performing as Antoine Fecal. So I changed the name. And it's funny, you'd think, oh, no, yeah, that would keep people away. No, the problem is the people it brings in.
Yeah.
So I changed it to Not Quite Sherlock. 6 shows. It's a one-person play about the sidekick to a Victorian detective. And things may not be what they seem. And I think it's pretty feel-good. Nice. And the only trigger warning is that it might not be very good.
No, it's going to be great.
Stop
it. It's going to be great.
You don't know.
No, I do. I'll be there. That's awesome.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Liam Fair, representing Matchstick Theatre.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris Gibbs.
Oh.
Yeah. Representing yourself, I guess.
That's
no one
what
else,
I did.
Right?
There's just no
you.
One.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. So beyond my expectations. I love